What I'd like to do today is to go with you through the update 950. So we only have 50 more to go, then we have reached 1,000. Not that it means anything, I'm just telling you. And I'd like to start by going to the very end, which is, of course, the section on the work. We announce in here that a German sermon was given this week to our German audience. The English title would be, "Do We Really Want to Follow God in Everything?" And next time I speak, I most certainly will bring this here as well. In German, it's called, "Wollen wir Gott wirklich in allem folgen?" We also had split sermons posted for Mr. Christoph Sperzel and Thilo Hahnstein, which gave those last week. But then, as you will recall, our latest message, so to speak, which I gave last Sabbath, didn't go through too well. And even though we were able to save much of it, we didn't save it all when it came to the video. But it's posted. The audio is completely posted. And I'd like to just give you a summary of that presentation because it will lead to further comments. The title of that presentation was "Expose the Many Lies to My People." Now, as you will also notice, we didn't have a standing watch program this week, partially due to the fact that our power was taken off due to allegedly high winds. We were supposed to get a warning ahead of time by SDGE, which we never got. And when my wife tried to call, they told her that she was on a 60 or so minute waiting list. So obviously that didn't work, so we had no power for a day. Fortunately, the power then came back later. Anyhow, so this was a replacement. Now, not the standing watch, but then this presentation from last week. Here's a summary. The world is in Satan's clutches. The church's responsibility is to announce as a witness the soon coming rule of Christ on and over this earth, and in the meantime, to cry aloud and show the people their sins. As sin is a transgression of the law, the church must preach love towards God and love towards neighbor. We do not love God if we practice false worship, and we do not love neighbor if we lie to him. This presentation exposes lies by scientists and the mass media, the four M's, if you will recall, in many different ways. The lie of evolution, lies in connection with the coronavirus and man-made climate change, and lies pertaining to the U.S. election, including the false designation of Joe Biden as president-elect and the denial of voter fraud. I will talk about that some more. We also posted the sermon presented by Mr. Messier last week titled "Draw Close to God," and it pointed out the importance of utilizing the tools God has given us to maintain a close relationship with him as we enter a difficult time in human history just prior to the Great Tribulation. This leads me to the editorial this week, which was written by Mr. Rob Harris, titled "Thirst for Lasting Change." Just to give you a few highlights, he says in here that in the bigger picture, that God's elect understand, we know that the world's political infighting is all dross. But seeing the fervent desire of so many for temporary and unattained change should prompt us to question our passion for lasting change. A little later he says, our zeal for the lasting change that only God can bring about can grow into an attitude of complacency. We adhere to the law and look to our future with God, but without zeal. And then he says a little later, keeping our lines bright takes enthusiasm, not just adherence to God's principles. Now, as he points out, there's a lot of change, desire for change in this world, especially in the United States of America. And that brings me to the first of three subjects I want to discuss with you today, which we also discuss in our update. The first one, of course, is the voting situation, the election. Now, the Daily Mail, and I quote this here in our update, has an interesting, alarming statement. It says that earlier Wednesday, former Trump National Security Advisor Mike Flynn blasted out an article that called on Trump to declare martial law and have the military oversee a revolt. And then he is quoted as having said the following: failure to do so, in other words, not to declare martial law, could result in massive violence and destruction on a level not seen since the Civil War. Limited martial law is clearly a better option than civil war, he says. The anger and the frustration in the United States regarding the voting situation is increasing. Now, of course, it goes hand in hand with something I'm going to talk about in a moment. It's also the concern that the mass media has become complicit in what could be a massive fraud on the American people. We quote an article in here by the Future of Freedom Foundation, which says the following on December 2. While President Trump continues to maintain that the presidential election was marred by massive fraud, the mainstream press continues to maintain that Trump's charges are false and baseless. And if you read any of these left-wing magazines and articles, that's exactly what they're telling you. Oh, there's no evidence. It's a baseless, false charge. The article goes on to say, the problem with the mainstream press in the Trump-Biden race is the speed by which it concluded that the 2020 presidential election was not marred by fraud. It reached its conclusion before the election was even over. The mainstream press reached its conclusions immediately and never conducted an independent investigation. And then the article says, when there are extreme anomalies with respect to votes as there have been in the Trump-Biden race, it is incumbent on an independent press to severely scrutinize them. But you see, that didn't happen. They were very anxious to immediately declare Biden to be the elected president, even though he never was the elected president. He still is not, even though this morning something was declared by CBS News, and you probably heard about it. It says that California certified its presidential election Friday and appointed 55 electors pledged to vote for President-elect Biden, officially handling him the Electoral College majority needed to win the White House with 279 electors. That's just over the 270 threshold for victory. So it seems like now everything is clear, right? Wrong. Edward Foley, the law professor at Ohio State University, said, it is a legal milestone and the first milestone with that status. Everything prior to that was premised on what we call projections. But if you listen to the press, you never heard projection. You heard he was a president-elect. Goes on to say that the electors named Friday will meet December 14, along with counterparts in each state, to formally vote for the next president. So that hasn't happened yet. Results of the Electoral College vote are due to be received and typically approved by Congress on January 6. That's when whoever it is going to be declared the next president. It says lawmakers can object to accepting the electors' votes. The Democratic-controlled House and Republican-controlled Senate would both vote separately to resolve any disputes. One already has arisen in Pennsylvania, where 75 Republican lawmakers signed a statement on Friday urging Congress to block the state's electoral votes from being cast for Mr. Biden. It says the last remaining move to block the election would be the effort to vote down the electors in Congress. This tactic has been tried. A handful of congressional Democrats in 2000, 2004, and 2016 objected to officially making both George W. Bush and Mr. Trump president. See, I guess that was fine, right, because these were the Democrats. The numbers were not enough, though, at the time to block the two men from taking office. So whether this is going to happen, I'm not going to tell you, but what I'm telling you is, let's keep our eyes open, because nothing is totally clear yet. Express wrote this on December 5. An independent human rights organization has claimed that it has identified more than a million, you heard right, a million instances of potential fraud in five key states. The Amistad Project of the Thomas More Society, which is a non-party political and not officially affiliated Trump campaign, has filed its latest motion in Arizona, which Mr. Biden won by just 10,477 votes. According to expert data analysis of the Amistad Project, more than 200,000 illegal votes were potentially cast for Mr. Biden in the state, while 100,000 legal ballots were not counted. According to the independent Amistad Project, the data compiled and analyzed over the course of weeks of rigorous investigation show that the total number of illegal ballots counted and legal ballots not counted likely exceeds 300,000 votes, 30 times more than the number of votes separating the presidential candidates. In five closely fought states, including Arizona, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, where the Amistad Project is challenging reported results, it claims its investigators have identified over a million instances of potential fraud. The latest challenge follows the Amistad Project unveiling a number of whistleblowers last week who have signed legal documents, here's the evidence, saying that they are willing to testify to instances of voter fraud and running fraudulent votes across state lines. So what that all means, your guess is as good as mine. Is this going to change anything? Are courts willing to look into that? So far they have not. So far they have not, and your speculation is as good as mine too as to why they didn't. Was it strictly because of cowardice? Was it strictly because of political convenience? Was it strictly because they don't want to rock anything, the apple cart, right? Is it because they don't know any better? Whether the Supreme Court is looking into this will have to be seen. There is a great chance that they might. Again, is it going to overturn the election? Who knows? But anyhow, what we are seeing very clearly is a corrupt system in the United States worse than anybody could have imagined it. The United States is going to be looked as a condemned nation, condemned by God for utter, total, complete corruption. And that is how the world looks at it. Even though they like Biden to be the next president, but they know what's going on. They know what's going on is symptomatic of a dictatorship, which you might have experienced in Russia, in China, in North Korea, in other dictatorships like in Nazi Germany, in Italy under Mussolini, but so far at least not openly in the United States. So that's where we are when it comes to the elections. And that brings me to the second subject I'd like to talk to you about. And that is the assassination of a scientist in Iran. Now, you all heard about it, and of course the assumption is that Israel was behind that assassination, probably with the green light of the United States, the Trump administration. And so The Guardian wrote on November 28, "The assassination of the country's top nuclear expert raises fears that the outgoing U.S. president," talking about Trump, "is determined to take further action." The question they ask is, could all of this be a prelude to something more strategically explosive? It's a fateful moment for the entire Middle East. Trump may be tempted to go out with a bang. That's a possibility. There has been a lot of speculation that an attack on Iran will take place prior to January. The Washington Post wrote on November 30 that Netanyahu is wary of Biden's promise to offer Iran a diplomatic path back to compliance, and by some accounts, he is pushing Trump to strike a decisive blow against Iran's nuclear program. It also says that Israel is bracing for a counterattack, and as Iran buries its slain nuclear scientists, lead us now revenge, or vow revenge, and no negotiations with the West. Even though the EU was very quick in condemning the assassination, but Iran says, okay, we are going to go it and do it on our own. They said, you know, if certain sanctions are not taken off, we are going to go forward with our nuclear program. So the Middle East, again, is a powder keg, as we have always said it would be, and we'll have to see what is going to happen. Prophecy seems to indicate that a war is going to take place prior to the Great Tribulation with some of the players over there in the Middle East, and Iran might very well be part of it, and Israel might get a blow from it, as some prophecies suggest. And that now brings me to the third aspect, the third subject, and that goes into the issue of lockdowns and coronavirus vaccines. Now, we have published numerous articles over the last several months showing that lockdowns don't work, haven't worked, will not work, but in fact are detrimental to the survival of the economy, detrimental to the survival of families, of people. And the reason we have been publishing those articles is because you hardly will find them anywhere else. If you look at the mainstream media, you won't find any of that. They're telling you lockdowns work, and of course, the evidence is they haven't worked. They haven't worked because now we have reached the same situation as we are being told happened in March or April, even though there were lockdowns. Nothing has worked. Now, the one thing, though, which has not been emphasized that much and which we are now emphasizing in this update is the fact that it also has spiritual consequences. We have an article here by Mises.org saying this. More and more states have begun once again to impose ruinous lockdowns. California being one of them. I mean, they have just announced that they will have another lockdown pretty soon, doing the same kind of nonsense which they done in April or whenever that was. It goes on to say in this article, this all demonstrates just how out of touch with human reality much of our expert class and their hordes of lemming-like followers are. I like this expression, hordes of lemming-like followers. In Germany, we have 70% of them. 70% of them in Germany, because they're talking about lockdown as well, believe that that is justified or the restrictions are not even going far enough. Hordes of lemming-like followers without any ability or willingness to think and to investigate for themselves. The article goes on to say, there are few events more brimming with the spiritual unity of the attendees than a wedding, a celebration of the literal unity of two persons as one in the presence of their friends and loved ones with feasting, singing, and dancing. Yet how many weddings have been canceled or celebrated in private this year thanks to lockdowns? How many shared meals have not been eaten, dances left undanced, songs left unsung, conversations not had? How many parents and grandparents in nursing homes did not get to see their loved ones before they departed this earth? How many children have suffered in front of a screen alone all day? Suicide rates are all up around the country, in some places as much as 70%. Drug overdose deaths are on track to reach an all-time high. The Rand Corporation has found an upswing in heavy drinking this year. The Associated Press reports on the horrific conditions in nursing homes around the country that may have led to the deaths of tens of thousands of residents in excruciating and horrific circumstances, as their families have been forbidden from caring for them. What's more, it seems many patients simply withered away, their spirits broken from being locked in veritable solitary confinement with no contact with friends or family for months. That's a curse of lockdowns imposed by leaders of this country, in most cases, left-wing democratic leaders. We have mentioned last time already that those COVID-19 tests are totally unreliable. And just to give you one more refresher, it was stated in this update in an article that earlier this year, data from three US states, New York, Nevada, and Massachusetts, showed that when the amount of the virus found in a person was taken into account, up to 90% of people who tested positive could actually have been negative. Now, tests, that is a great justification, right? The number of tests for the terrible pandemic in this country, and that's why we have to have another lockdown. What if all these tests are virtually wrong? What if all these test results are virtually wrong, as these data suggest? And there was another court case here in Portugal suggesting exactly the same thing. Now, we have read before an article which we published actually in November about the side effects of the vaccines, because now we're talking about vaccines, and the vaccines, they are going to solve all our problems, right? In other words, everybody can get vaccinated and then everybody is going to be fine, and then the lockdowns will be taken away and travel restrictions will be lifted and you can go wherever you want to go and we're going to go back to normal, right? That's what's being said. That's what's being said. What about the side effects? MSNBC wrote on November 23, let me just read it to you. We actually published that in our update 949. The companies producing those vaccines acknowledged that the vaccines could induce side effects that are similar to symptoms associated with the COVID-19, as much as muscle pain, chills, headache, and so on. We really need to make patients aware that this is not going to be a walk in the park, one expert said. They are probably not going to feel wonderful. But if they got to come back, but they have to come back for the second dose. It says participants in two of these coronavirus vaccine trials, one by Moderna and the other one by Pfizer, they told CNBC in September that they were experiencing high fever, body aches, bad headaches, day-long exhaustion, and other symptoms after receiving the shots. One North Carolina woman in the Moderna study was in her 50s, or is in her 50s, said she suffered a bad migraine that left her drained for a day, unable to focus. By the way, if you want to listen to some more information, there are several standing watch programs out there, one from 2019 titled The Dangerous Vaccination Paranoia. And then there are older programs on the swine flu vaccination and the measles outbreak. Of course, this goes into swine flu and goes into measles, not coronavirus, but the principle is pretty much the same. So you might want to listen to those programs again. And let me just say before I go on, we in the church are not taking a position as to what you should do. It's up to you. It's your decision. But you should make a decision based on your inquiry of the facts. You shouldn't just blindly follow, like the hordes of lemmings, what is being said to you by whoever. Do your own investigation, and then you make a decision based on what you have learned. And the decision may not be always the same for each and every person in each and every circumstance. But you have to make the decision based on what you know, what you understand, and of course based on your conscience. And the church is going to approve of that and support it. If your conscience, let's say, prohibits you from taking vaccinations because whatever is not of faith is sin, the church will support that. But it has to be your decision. But I just want to point out that you need to have the basic understanding. In our update now, we quoted from an article by Olgura, published November 22. This article was written by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is a vaccine injury lawyer, and who is the son of the former U.S. Attorney General, Robert Kennedy, and of course, the nephew of his brother, John F. Kennedy. And that's what he wrote. For the first time in the history of vaccination, the so-called last generation mRNA vaccines intervene directly in the genetic material of the patient, and therefore, after the individual genetic material, which represents a genetic manipulation, something that was already forbidden and until then considered criminal. This vaccination is problematic in terms of health, morality, and ethics, and also in terms of genetic damage that, unlike the damage caused by previous vaccines, will be irreversible and irreparable. He says that you will no longer be able to treat the vaccine symptoms in a complementary way. They will have to live with the consequences because it can no longer be cured simply by removing toxins from the human body. And then he says, in my opinion, these new vaccines represent a crime against humanity that has never been committed in such a big way in history. So again, an article we published because you don't hear that too often anywhere else. Also this morning, I came across another article by USA Today saying this. Americans will likely experience at least one side effect from the COVID-19 vaccine, but doctors say that's normal, and you should still get vaccinated. In Moderna's phase 3 trials, companies said the most common side effects were fatigue, muscle soreness and aches, joint pain, headache, pain, redness, or swelling at the injunction site. More than half of the study's participants had side effects from the vaccine in phase 1. And then, of course, the doctors tell you it's important that you take both doses, or the first dose was all for nothing. But now listen to this interesting admission. Experts still don't know the long-term side effects of the COVID-19 vaccines, and won't know until for years after. And then they also try to do something more concerning, if you want to say this even more concerning, because listen to this, and Big Brother all over the place again. The U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention has numerous national monitoring systems in place to track reportable adverse events from vaccines. However, the agency added another layer of safety monitoring for the COVID-19 vaccine. It's called V-Safe. It's a new smartphone-based post-vaccination health checker for essential workers who receive the COVID-19 vaccine. For those who enroll, and they hope to enroll millions of people, the program will use texting messaging and web surveys to check in with people for health problems following vaccination. Text messages and emails will still be sent daily for the first week post-vaccination and then weekly thereafter for 6 weeks. The agency will not only ask about side effects and possible adverse events, but it will also ask about COVID-19 infection to better understand effectiveness and how long vaccine protection even lasts. They don't even know how long it's going to last. They don't even know what it will do. They don't know how effective it's going to be. Let me just say personally, that's my personal opinion, if I don't have any compelling reasons, I most certainly am not going to get vaccinated with that kind of a vaccination. Now, there might be compelling reasons. And of course, every individual has to make that decision based on his or her circumstance. I mean, we're talking about children. In Germany, for instance, they say, oh, it's not going to be mandated, but then at the same time, they have already mandated vaccinations for measles and other sicknesses. And of course, they have to be vaccinated, otherwise they can't go to school, but you have to go to school because of their law. So the government comes and, in a worst case scenario, takes the children away. I'm not kidding. That's what they can do. That's what they have threatened to do. In fact, in one case I'm aware of, they're already threatening that. That wasn't because of vaccination, it was because of the feast. And the children didn't go to school. Asked for permission, the school, I believe, screwed it up, and now a person is being threatened for the children being taken away because of that. I mean, this is Germany, right? A democracy. You see how the dictatorships all over in the world are taking hold. And my personal opinion is, it's a personal opinion, that the whole restriction process, including these new coronavirus lockdowns, have a lot to do with a political attempt to get more and more power for those who are in charge, making sure that they don't lose that power, making sure they stay in power. And it's amazing to me how far they have already gone and how far courts are willing to allow that, let alone the politicians. If Mr. Biden should become the next president, you know what's going to happen. Everybody has to wear a mask, indoor and outdoor. I mean, we may never be without a mask any longer. Lockdowns all over the place. Mr. Fauci has agreed to work under Mr. Biden's new administration. I was hoping we finally got rid of the man, but no, he's back. He's back. So that's what we are facing in this country, not just in this country, around the world, but I'm speaking specifically about this country, and we should not have any illusions. I'm not sure that we are going to get back to quote-unquote normal anytime soon. In the meantime, we have to make the best out of it. People are getting depressed. I got reports that even kids over there in Germany get depressed because they can't do anything. They can't go to this function. They can't go to that function. They have to stay home. You know, schools have to be conducted from home. I mean, what a nonsense, what a ridiculous nonsense, even though you know that the kids in school are the ones least prone to be affected by that virus. I mean, are people not thinking? Don't people care? Well, it looks like they have their own agenda in mind. And then at the same time, behaving as hypocrites. You know, they tell people don't go out to a restaurant, and then they go out to a restaurant themselves. It's unbelievable what we are having in this country. And what does the mass media do? In most cases, they just gloss over it, don't even report it, put it aside. It's not important, right? It's important that you are a lemming following the quote-unquote leadership of those who want to have the leadership. Well, let's pray to God that this is not going to take that much longer. I mean, to me, these are all the signs, the indications that the end is very near and that Christ will have to come back soon, because how much more nonsense can we tolerate? How much more nonsense and insanity can we accept and can we live under? But it will get worse before it gets better, we know that. And again, let's just keep praying that God will send his son soon so that his kingdom, his rule over this earth can come soon, so that the madness of human mismanagement and misrule can finally end.